Oh, my bad.
Blog Talk Radio.
Our destiny is greatness, people. Why?
Because God did it.
Come on with it.
Talk to him.
Hey. Hey. Nick and E in the morning.
You know why they yawning, yawning.
You know why they yawning, yawning, yawning.
Talk to him.
Come on, E.
Get them out the way.
Come on.
Hey, God, where about that?
We loosen the full face.
The story.
It's happening. Colossal. Our destiny is greatness.
Talk to him.
Talk to him, baby. Here we go.
That's right, baby. We are back. It is Topic Tuesday, and we are ready to go today, baby. What's up with you, E? What's going on, good brother?
What's going on, man? What's happening?
Man,
I'm ready to do this. Oh, you know what? You know what? There is no need to fear. The fantasy football champion is back right here. I tell you what, I'm convinced that Nick and the rest of the guys don't want to do fantasy with me anymore, because it'll be August in a little while, and I'll just remain the defending champion forever. I'm convinced that that's what's going to happen. But that's neither here nor there. Well, how you feeling, bro?
I'm all good, bro. Listen, at the end of the show yesterday, there was this big noise. A loud boom, right after we hung up the phone. And what it was me dropping the ball. Dropped the ball yesterday. Forgot to give you guys the word of praise in the last few 7 days. Well, guess what? This week it'll last you six. The word is melanin. The word is melanin. It is spelled M-E-L-A-N-I-N, melanin. It is the dark brown to black pigment that is in your hair and your skin. It's in the iris of your eye in both people and animals. It is responsible for the tanning of the skin exposed to sunlight. Melanin, that is why you're beautiful. Melanin, that is why you are not. No, I'm kidding. Melanin, that's a word, a phrase that will last you 6 days. I don't care. It's all right. You got another
melanin.
Word for yesterday. Yes, sir. Melanin.
That's right. I learned that word in high school, and I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool that there was actually a term that described blackness.
Mm.
There's a word for it. Melanin. I don't think you can have. Can you have melanin if you're not black? A tan is not melanin. A tan is just a tan, right? Only black people have.
Yeah. You can't just get a tan. You can't just go get it. No.
There's no Indian melanin. There's no Latino melanin. Melanina.
Brown or black. That's it.
Right, cool.
Why you're beautiful and why you are not.
Cool. Well, I'm proud of my melanin. I'm happy
yes,
to
sir.
Have it. I'm happy. A lot of black people don't have melanin. How awful is it for them?
I don't think I understand.
Well, if they aren't dark skinned, then they don't have melanin, right? Melanin is the darkness in your black skin.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it anymore because I'm starting to think that I don't fully understand. I don't like it.
Then we won't.
You're definitely right. It's definitely dark only.
The dark pigmentation.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, but I'm dark brown, so.
Okay. Okay. Well, what I said is that some black people don't have melanin. So
yep.
It's not all about you, you know. I'm just.
You're right.
I'm just saying that it. Well, I mean,
I felt left out. I had to convince everyone that I'm not. People sometimes say I'm light skinned. I don't like it.
So, was melanin the word for the week because of you feeling left out? I thought it had something to do with.
No.
Okay. I'm like, wait, this is selfish all along. Oh, man. Here we go, bro. You ready for this?
Yes, sir. I'm ready, good brother.
Cool. What's really relevant? President Obama was scheduled to remain in Europe for a longer period of time that will be cut short because today there will be a prayer service in Dallas. And the president will be there, and the president will speak at the prayer service in Dallas today, which is Tuesday, July the 12th. The president will be speaking at this prayer service. The prayer service, after all of the killings of last week, those of the police officers out in Sterling and Philando Castile, which Nick and I will comment on in just a moment. At the prayer service will also be Vice President Biden and former President George W. Bush. So, hopefully, I'll say this. I hope that the president has something better to do at this prayer service. I hope it's a little more than a prayer service. I'm still very hungry. I'm still very, very fired up. I'm still searching avidly for action. I was just talking to a friend of mine, Chris Cotton, yesterday. I was in Center City last night, and we were saying, you know, we need more meaningful things to do. We were looking around. We were looking at one another, and we were looking to people like Jesse Williams, of course, people like Jesse Jackson, the first Jesse, and even the president. And we're thinking, you know what? We don't have enough to do. We don't have enough to do down here at the ground level other than protest. And I saw many videos on my Facebook of people protesting last night, and that's fantastic. My boy Terenzo out there playing his drum, protesting. But what are you doing? What, at the end of the day, can you say that you got done? I understand. We need numbers. I understand we need unity. I understand we need attention. But what exactly are you doing? I'm just saying all of this to say that's what I would like to see at the prayer service or here at the prayer service. Do you have anything on your mind, bro, for this prayer service that you would like to hear or see?
You know what? I just would like I would like to hear from the police officers again on some of the steps that they're taking to. I mean, I feel like we can march and we can talk, and you know, it all comes back to, you know, basically what you just said. You know, all of that is good because that's what we can do, and that's what it seems like we've been kind of brought down to. That's the lowest denominator right now. But I think to your point, you know, we need more answers, and we need more options. And we have some, but I think we need our leaders to highlight them, because there is much more that we can do than march, protest, and hashtag. You know, there's much more we can do that would affect that community and these officers in a much more impactful way. But we'll get into that when we get into the show.
Yeah, most definitely. Speaking of that, it's about 6:40, so let's rock. First of all, I want to say that we're still mourning. It has been about, what, a week? It's been about 6 days. And it already feels to me like things have died down from last week. Now, what we want to talk about today primarily is that your American experience has been affected. Some would argue that it hasn't been affected or impacted greatly in a negative way. However, it just has been exposed for what it really is. And that is exactly what we want to talk about. You see, the worst thing about the videos of Castillo's tragedy in Minnesota and Sterling's in Louisiana is the fact that they were viral videos for everyone to see, including people who cannot process them. And when I say people who can't process them, primarily I mean children. Because when I think about all of the children who got a hold of these videos, I can't come up with the best way to process them. I mean, what are we supposed to say to the kids? So are we supposed to say these guys? Do you see these guys right here with the uniform on? These guys that murdered these men who look like you, or even the ones, even for the young white children, or the young yellow children, or the young Indian children, any young children who see the video, we have to tell them that these guys, these murderers, these guys who killed these men in cold blood, these guys, these are the people who we want you to go to. These are the people who we want you to find if there's anything wrong. If you're lost, or if you need protection, or if we aren't around and you want to tell somebody or have somebody bring you to us or call us, find these murderers. Because what it's easy to do, and what kids always do, without much logic or experiential reasoning behind it, is we make generalizations. It's easy to make a generalization. You know, this is how police officers act. This is how white people act. This is how black men, all black men are treated. This is how, and that is a generalization, which is mostly true. But this is how the world is. And then we hear people saying, you know what, the United States is racist, police are racist, police are afraid of black people. But then we heard President Obama, my man, come out from London saying, first of all, pointing out that the crime rate in America is the best that it's been since the 1960s, and then saying that these people do not represent us and we are not as divided as a lot of people make it seem, which I thought was a timely statement. And he said that, you know, the man who the Pakistani man or whatever exactly he was, or wherever he denominates most specifically, he said this man does not represent the bunch for what he did to those police officers in Dallas. I mean, that's not how those guys act. Yeah. The white officers that killed the police officers, Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, they didn't act for white people. They didn't act for police officers. And the president said, you know, the Muslim who killed 50 people in the LGBT club in Orlando, he didn't act for Muslims. This is not us. This is not our identity. This is not who we are. These people do not represent us. And then I thought about my experience. And I said, you know what? Just like I say many days before I go to sleep, Good days outweigh the bad. Joy kills pain. Happy times over sad. I can't complain. I like to think that the good in the world, first of all, you have to make a decision that you are going to be the good in the world. Because this stuff was on television, and it should have been. This stuff was all over the place. This stuff is national news. A lot of people saw this, but a lot of people don't see the white people that help people every day. A lot of people don't see the African-American people that care for white people or that go about change in a peaceful way every single day. They don't see the Muslim people that fight for unity across the world every single day. And I thought about my experience, and I said, you know what, this is not my experience. Maybe the president's right. Maybe we just aren't as divided as people make us out to look after last week. I mean, there was a point last week, especially after the Dallas tragedy, when I said, you know what, I don't want to be here. I said, there's something new every single day. Is there somewhere we can go? Is there somewhere where people are happier? Is there somewhere where people are more like us? And I thought about it, and I said, you know what? I'm living in that place because my experience is not this. The white people that I work with every day, all of my coworkers, beautiful people. Most of my coworkers are phenomenal, God-fearing people. God-fearing, helpful, kind-hearted Republicans, okay? I mean, some of the professors I had at Hampton, some of the teachers I had in high school, amazing people, and they overshadow the bad ones of the bunch when it pertains to my experience. They overshadow the white police officers that I saw shoot down Alton Sterling and Philando Castile in cold blood, and they overshadow the white man who called me the N-word when I was 14 years old. They overshadow the darkness in the world. So when you look at America, what do you see? When you look at your life and your experience, because each one of us, I think, lives a unique American experience. When you look at your American experience, what do you see division, or do you see unity, or do you see something that lies in between? Because I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we would not let these people control the way we see the place we live, and we should not. So before I go on, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I don't know how much I can add to that. I don't know how much I can add, but value by my statement. But in response to is America too divided, I think I agree with you in saying no. I do not think that America is too divided, and I do think, like anything, there are a few that spoil it for all, in any occupation, in any race, any culture, in any area or demographic, that there's always a few that could spoil it for all. But I do think that there are issues that need to be addressed, and I will say that had not these, and not just these murders, but the other things that have happened within the last year or within the presidency of President Obama, we would not have known the magnitude of the difference, of the division that is currently taking place within this country had not these things happened. And so it now provides us with an opportunity to reform and respond and react. It's sad that it has to be a reaction as opposed to being proactive, but I do think that because of these events, we now have an obligation to address those disparities and those issues and those events of last week and the verbiage that is often used by one of the presidential candidates, that seems so wrong and heavy with you know, race problems and inequality and just wrong views, man. Bad human being words. These are the things that we need to address. And had these, and when I say these events, I mean I dare not belittle last week and dare not say that we needed them to happen, because that's reckless, and you never need death. But we must take this and not let it go in vain. We must not allow this marching and these hashtags and this RIP and this response to be a moment. We must not allow this to be another moment. And the reason why people are saying that they are tired of marching and that they're tired of hashtagging is because when you have a moment like this, as opposed to a movement, when you have a moment like this and you don't get the outcome you want, when the jury doesn't decide in your favor, when justice doesn't happen, now you fail. And so the tiredness comes from failure. You're tired of failing because in your mind, the march is supposed to get the justice. And if the march doesn't get the justice, now you've marched in vain and thus you're failing. But the reason why that is a mindset is because we're focused on that moment, and there's no end goal for a movement to take place. There's no plan set out. What are we marching for? Are we marching to tell them that Black Lives Matter? We have to have, and this is something that we talked about last night. I went to Pastor Danny Sutton's church where Pastor Hall spoke, and the captain of the 22nd District, Captain Woods, and Lieutenant Thomas were there, as long as other police officers and some of our council people. And there was dialogue around some of the things that can be done, not, both by the citizens of this state and the city of Philadelphia, as well as the officers, and how we can bridge that gap together to foster change. But when we go out in march, what is the end goal of the march? That is that I have. Because if you're just marching as a response to what has happened, when time goes by, so does the march impact. So to me, we've got to understand the end goal, understand what we want to change, how we're going to change that, and then we make that a movement. Back in the day when Martin Luther King led the boycott for the buses was to get people the opportunity to vote and to get them equal rights from a, you know, civil perspective. You know, get these people jobs in the offices and clerk positions, and they had an end goal. They met at the church, the foundation was built, the plan was set, and they said, we're going to do this until we get the final result that we want. We need the same thing. We need the same goals. We need the same plan. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. We just have to go back and study how the wheel was successful from the beginning and re-implement and duplicate that model. I don't think that we're too divided, but I do think that the things that have happened that are not indicative of the overall Muslim or the overall, you know, police officer or the overall Black person, they happened for a reason. And now that they have, we must respond the right way so that these disparities of our groups and cultures and people do not continue to dictate how we're treated, who we perceive to be, and the actions that take place as we move forward, man. It is extremely important that we do not just 2 weeks goes by, act like nothing happened, you know, the energy dies, and then we go back to our day-to-day jobs until the verdict comes out on the, you know, the trying of these officers, we disagree with it. Then we go back to marching, back to violence, and then that dies, you know, and 2 weeks from there, and then it's nothing happened. You know, that's what we've seen, and that can't continue.
Yeah, yeah, and there's nothing else for me to add because I feel like there's two kinds of people. I feel like there's people who act on emotion, and then there's people who act cerebrally. You know, they, even if emotions fuel their actions, they're allergic to acting in futility. Because I'm simply not going to waste my time. It's that simple. No matter how much I care about anything, if it's not doing anything for the greater good, if it's not doing anything for my people, other than allowing me to be seen and allowing me to look proactive, then I'm just questioning why I should be there. And this is what when me and Chris Cotton were talking about last night. I mean, I'm basically saying, man, look, I care, you know. I care. If it was about who cared, I'd be on the front of those lines. I'd be out there too. I care. Listen, you can't tell me I don't care as much as the next guy. But where's the plan? And I got to salute my man Chris Cotton. We both hosted a comedy show last night, and Chris was saying that he's already working on things behind the scenes to try and make change. A whole bunch of paperwork. He's got people in Brooklyn putting together some paperwork, and he's got some people in Dallas putting together some paperwork, and they're developing a whole national team, and there's going to be people who are motivational, people who can be at the eye of it. There's going to be, you know, the gung-ho, ride-or-die rioters who will be in the back, not in the front, and he's just going to have some infantry. He's going to have a bunch of numbers, and he's going to try and attack it cerebrally. I think we're moving in the right direction, though, bro, because I think more people are thinking that way these days.
Yeah, I mean, I just think they're just tired. You know, that's one of the things that Pastor Sutton said last night. You know, he's just tired of marching with no impact. And I think you got to march. Don't get me wrong in saying you don't need to march. You need people on the ground marching. That is important.
Yeah.
You just have to have, and to your point, you got to have some stuff working behind the scenes that will have an impact, that will be a lasting impact. Because marching affects people today. You want to know how to affect change, people? Dollars. Okay? Dollars. That's how you affect change. You want to know why they boycotted? Because the money. That's why it mattered. It was only supposed to take 2 weeks. It ended up being like 9 months to a year. Money. That's how you affect change. Affect the man's dollar and see if he don't make changes. Take your money out the bank and put it in the credit union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Cool. That's it. That's that. That is a great punctuation. Now, should we do this? Okay. Real quick. Yeah. Real quick. Rapid fire, bro. Rapid fire. You ready for this?
Rapid fire.
The return of. First of all, I want to say. I just want to say that I miss Bishop No Bread and Deacon Discount. I really miss them. We'll have a discussion on air. On air about the retirement, if that's what it's going to be, the retirement of maybe they could have a retirement party. Maybe I could interest you in a retirement party. and also, I want to say that the five things is planning on returning the five things like it's a person. I plan on returning the five things next week. Eric's Five Things premiere for season three next week. And here, this is a segment. This is a little taste right now. First of all, it's over for the live listeners. Thanks for joining us. If you're listening live, we appreciate you.
Joe Tucker Jr. Tomorrow, we got him on the show. He's one of the country's leading trial lawyers. He's lectured all over the country on many different topics. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. It's going to be a fantastic show. We're talking about the importance of ownership. So join us tomorrow morning, Joe H. Tucker. Okay, we're excited to have him, man. You got to tune in.
Oh yeah, this is a segment
that
live
listeners, real quick.
for the live listeners, I was going to do it. I was going to do it at the end, but yeah, good time in there. For yeah, like I said, a segment that we've done a long time ago that we for some reason stopped doing. I'm going to give it a shot. We got two more minutes. Rapid fire. Tim, listen here. You guys know. 19 seasons in the NBA, 5 NBA championships. He is nationally regarded by most NBA fans as the greatest power forward of all time. His team, he's one of, I think, 3 or 4 players, maybe you can correct me on that, that have been with the same team throughout their entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spurs have never posted a win percentage below 600 during his tenure. I'm talking about legendary status. I'm talking about first ballot Hall of Fame status. If there was a ballot before a first ballot, he'd be that. Tim Duncan, my man, has retired from the NBA. He did it very, very surreptitiously. So I guess that's what I'll put under question right now, bro. The surreptitious behind-the-scenes retirement of Tim Duncan. Just fine or out of line?
Just fine. It's just fine. And the reason why it's just fine, because it's just Tim Duncan, good brother. He did it the way I would want him to do it, just like he's played his whole career. He don't need no rodeo show. He don't need to go out like that. He going to go out the way he want to go out. Back, you know, he probably called him from an island somewhere. Yeah, he popped. Yeah. Call the wife, call the kids. Tell him I ain't coming home no more. You know, shout out to Tim Duncan, man. He is one of the greatest power forwards of all time. Shout out to Tasande Tshishimba on his post yesterday about pointing Tim Duncan as the most. I don't want to quote him because I was going to mess it up. I forget what he said. I think he said something that he's the best franchise player in the history in the modern era of the NBA. Player in the modern era of the NBA. And the reason why he said that is because Tim Duncan has been in the league for 19 seasons. He's posted only one season below 50 wins, and that was the season, it was the lockout season where there were only 50 games. Then he goes and talks about his 6 NBA championship appearances, his 5 NBA championship rings, his 3 finals MVP rings, trophies, his 2 MVPs, league MVPs, his 15 All-Star year appearances, all of that on the same team. Tasande's got a great argument, but just shout out to Tim Duncan and for his greatness that he allowed us to see over the course of the years.
Black Lives Matter is trying to take over the world, but it seems that something else is going to take over the world first. Something has numbers and people more so than Black Lives Matter, or I think just about any organization right now. I mean, it's ridiculous the way this thing is growing. It is a disease, okay? Pokemon Go is all over the country. They've got multi-million number of participants that are running around, catching them all, stopping traffic, getting hit by cars, losing their job at work. This thing is taking over the world as we know it, bro. Just fine or out of line.
It's
Oh, man, that's crazy. It's out of line, but it's just fine, though. Like, it's, like, in the middle. I think it's in the middle because I used to love Pokemon, so I think whoever brought it back this way is genius for revamping, you know, a historical piece like Pokemon. This just doesn't happen ever. It always fails, but this is genius. So I say that it's out of line because you can't be out here getting hit by cars and losing your job. You gotta chill. You out here walking up to random people in the middle of the street. You got people getting robbed. Keep it up. I read an article the other day. He said a white man was walking in the middle of the night trying to find a Pokemon. It was a black man, young black man sitting on the bench. He walked up to him and asked him if he saw anyone. He told him, yeah, there's one over there behind the truck. He went and got it, came back. The police pulled up and thought they were doing a drug deal because in the middle of the night you got the white man daffing the black man talking about Pokemon. Maybe Pokemon Go is the answer to bringing us together. Let's go, Pokemon.
Listen here. When the demand goes up, the supply goes up. And when the demand goes up and the supply goes up, way up, way up, way up, the prices go up. Starbucks is raising its prices once again, starting today. It's America's favorite espresso. Everyone loves it. The stores are always full, and they have, I think, I could be wrong, I think I read this at one point, that they had the most locations for any chain, any retail chain, like any retail food chain, like, well, like, not retail, but you know what I mean. Any food chain, like Dunkin' Donuts, and the most locations nationwide. I don't know if that's still the case, but I think I read that probably 1 or 2 years ago. The prices are going up. We are paying the price for loving Starbucks so much, bro. Just find her out of line.
Out of line. I'm sick and tired of them raising prices. I'm sticking at Wawa. Wawa coffee better anyway. But I tell you, that caramel apple spice gets me every time I go through there.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it is. All right. I said rapid fire. Listen here, Starbucks is the only thing I'm out of line with. Everything else, just fine. Pokemon, Tim Duncan, just fine. Listen here, bro. We are heading into our season premiere of Who We Got Wednesday. As we head on out of here, let us know who we got.
Oh, yeah, I'm so glad we brought this back around because I wanted to give you guys a better update on who we have. Listen, tomorrow we have Joe. Okay, as I said before, Mr. Tucker is one of the country's leading trial lawyers. Excuse me. It doesn't matter if it's for major universities, large oil companies, chemical manufacturers, pharmaceutical companies, or individual plaintiffs. Mr. Tucker is the guy. Okay, he's represented international and Fortune 100 companies, and he's been doing this for more than 20 years. Okay, he's lectured on areas of law, including Sarbanes-Oxley, the False Acts Claim, the First Amendment, and the Constitution. And he's spoken to and he's tried for civil rights and employment discrimination. Okay, so we'll have him on the show tomorrow. We're talking about ownership. You say, why are we talking about ownership? Because he has his own firm. Okay, and so we're talking about ownership not from just a business perspective, but from your career, from your mistakes, from your future, from your job right now. And we'll also speak to the events of Baton Rouge and Minnesota, okay? And we'll get a response from him on what we can do to be better, to do better, and how we respond to these events. Tomorrow's going to be a tremendous show. It's a great season opener. We have a highly decorated African-American male leading a firm in Philadelphia. I know, it's esoteric. You don't hear of him. But guess what? He's on the show tomorrow, and you'll hear it tomorrow. Tune in to hear ownership tips and how we respond to the tragic events of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Minnesota from last week. That's what I got for him, good brother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're getting out of here. Listen, if you didn't – nope. Listen, all you got from today's show, also remember this. That our destiny, that means my destiny, your destiny, and even Eric's destiny, all of our destiny is greatness, not because you, not because of me. Our destiny is greatness. Why, E? Come on, brother.
Because God did it.
That's right, baby. Our destiny is greatness because God did it. I holla.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you did it a little differently last time. We've got to go back and listen to it.